Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Senator Robert Peters joins us now. He is the chair, as I said, of the Senate Black Caucus. Senator Peters, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Yeah, okay, so we were talking about this bill. Do we expect the governor to sign it?
Yes, I believe the governor will sign it. It's a historic bipartisan bill that has, it's a bill that has the ability to have Representative, Durkin, State Attorney Fox, myself, and be able to be all on this bill, and I think the governor will sign it.
And so I was surprised. I was reading a New York Times article about it and said that if the governor signs it, Illinois would be the first state to have such a law. Does that mean it's an understanding in the other 49 or generally in other states that you don't lie during interrogations, or that it's standard operating procedure and will continue to be that you can lie to juvenile suspects during interrogation?
I think the understanding is that in other states you can lie. So we'll be the first state to say that you can't.
And give me law enforcement's case on this. Why is it that they should be allowed, and let's take adults, let's throw juveniles out of this. Do you think they should be allowed to lie to suspects during interrogation?
I don't think that they should, but I understand that, when it comes to this stuff, it takes more work and more organizing to move the public and to move stakeholders on these issues. And I think law enforcement realized that it's a legitimacy issue when you lie, especially to young people, because young people are, they see an adult, let alone a police officer, as a person of authority. And so therefore, when you deceive them, they're under a lot of pressure. They already have a sort of respect for you as an adult. And it doesn't actually help when it comes to anything involving crime. So I think the fact of the matter is, particularly for law enforcement, we're talking about, in this case, they understood that there is a trust issue that they wanted to bridge. And it's especially bad when young people are losing faith in our institutions as a whole. And so I think in their perspective, in Illinois at least, they were supportive of this bill after a series of conversations, after a lot of organizing to understand and see the value of this piece of legislation.
So if I hear you right, then you would like to see it banned for any age suspect, but that you can get it for juveniles now, maybe not adults, so you went for the kids.
Yes, and the other part is, the way I tend to try to carry pieces of legislation is I want to make sure that the community is behind it, that there is an effort to continue to organize at both the street level and, as I like to say, under the dome with legislators. And so this was an effort that came from people who work specifically in the wrongful conviction field, so the Wrongful Conviction Center in Northwestern, the Innocence Project, and State's Attorney Kim Fox, who have been working on, wrongful convictions for quite some time. And, they talked to me about it, and I said, of course, I want to be able to carry this. I want to be able to push this. So it takes a combination of things, and their vision was, let's, deal with this when it comes to young people who are accused of a crime. And, my stance broadly is the idea that you can just lie or deceive people isn't going to do anything to help figure out what happened in a crime, right? Like, that is an issue, all on its own. But in this case, it's not just that you're doing that. It's to people who have, they see you as an authority. And then because of that, they end up risking themselves into losing their childhood, losing those late teen years, losing their young adulthood, losing so much of their life. And their parents lose their child, and it causes so much trauma. And the one thing we learned is that when you have trauma, you carry that trauma, and it begets more trauma.
Senator, is it limited to evidence, lying about evidence, or lying about anything? And here's why I ask. You know, you read stories and you see, well, maybe TV shows, I don't even know, but or different accounts of where people are in the interrogation room and they're worn down, and an officer might just say, look, just tell us you did it. You'll be able to go home to your family. Not true, but they say that in an effort to get a confession. Would that be banned under this legislation?
Yes.
Okay. And does that happen?
Yes. There's a story that I heard of, you know, we were on a podcast talking, and I heard the story, and his name's Marty, and I can't remember his last name, so forgive me.
That's okay.
But he talked about it was he you know, went to the interrogation room at 3 a.m. He was, I believe, a teenager. He was exhausted. He just learned that his father was murdered, and he was basically given every tactic, deceiving tactic that you could get. You tell us this, you'll get a better sentence. You know, your someone in your family told me that you did it. You know, why did you do it? You know, you should just tell us. I mean, he got hit with everything. And the very idea that that can happen is atrocious and is built into this law. We built into this law to stop that.
And the problem is, obviously, when kids are coerced into confessing, a lot of times they do it and they're then wrongfully convicted. But so what is the repercussion when this happens? Is the officer punished? Is the evidence inadmissible? Or, you know, what is that part of it, Senator?
Yeah, so I believe it's inadmissible. The idea is that because the legitimacy of that confession is, you know, immediately called into question. So you essentially, you're taking it out. It allows lawyers to be able to defend their client and give them more space to be able to make an argument about what really happened in the case.
And would the officers be in any way disciplined or punished?
I have to circle back on that one, but I don't think so. But I will double check that before I just decide to give you an answer. What I do know is it definitely helps in the court proceeding.
And then, so are adults next, or are you going to see how this works with juveniles?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that we need to do around public safety. Hopefully one day I can go in and, you know, deal with the issue of any lying that happens during interrogation. But there's no guarantee that I'm going to do that, you know, next year. I think because I feel like when it comes to public safety policy, it's a huge pillar, and we're generally always just chipping at it to make our community safer, that it's going to require so many different angles to go at. And if I have time and the capacity and there's the organizational push that comes with it, I'll consider taking that next step. But right now I'm just really excited to see that we got this done, that Illinois is the first in the country to do that, and really, really hopeful and excited for when this bill gets passed to see it implemented.
Senator Robert Peters, the chair of the Illinois Senate Black Caucus. Senator, I think this is the first time we've talked. I hope it's not the last.
I hope it's not the last either, Steve. I really appreciate it.
You bet. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. We're going to take a break and then head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. WGN.